Let us now turn to read God's word, and our reading this morning is in the Old Testament and in the book of Leviticus and in chapter 25. This book of Leviticus is a book that sets out the different rules, regulations and standards and norms that were to be in effect to govern the society of God's people. And in particular, in chapter 25, we have the two important years that are set out. One is the sabbatical year, and the other is the year of Jubilee. It is that theme of Jubilee that I want us to think of today because of what's going on in our society. But we need to explain something of the procedures that are given in this book. If somebody in Israel wanted to, they were poor and they wanted some money, they could for a time hand over their land and borrow money against it. But when it came to the 50th year, that money, that land had to be restored to the person to whom it was given. And the way in which the land was assessed was, that's the value of one harvest. And there are 7 years or 10 years to go before the Jubilee. Therefore, you multiply the value of the harvest by the years to go. And then, in theory, by the time you get to the year of the Jubilee, the land is handed back to the man to whom it was belonged originally without any great loss to the man who forwarded the money to him. And the reason why that takes place is because the land is the Lord's. It does not belong to Israel. They, and the principle applies to us, we today are stewards of this land. And we therefore have a responsibility to look after it well. And equally, if somebody was that desperate that they put themselves into service as a servant, there are several things that were given to us in this chapter as well. They were not to be oppressed severely or unjustly whenever they were put into service. It was their time that was bought, not their person. They were not slaves, they were servants. And again, the value of their service was calculated per year, and it was multiplied so that at the end of the time of the year of Jubilee, that person was entitled to go free. And there are warnings in this chapter about exploitation, about inflation. You cannot turn around and say, well, your land is worth this much, more so than all of its performance in the past, just to cover your losses towards the year of Jubilee. You're not to exploit your fellows. You'd pick a figure, realistically, honestly, to help out those who are in need. These are the principles that come out then as we read this chapter. Let's read Leviticus chapter 25 from the beginning. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall your land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine and rest. For it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for thee and for thy servant, for thy maid and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle and for thy beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. In other words, they're not to harvest it. Whatever grows naturally and spontaneously, even the crops that were left from last year, that is there for anyone to take to eat in this year, the 7th year. Verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land, and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine unrest. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbour, or buyest aught of thy neighbour's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. That's the reference to exploitation. According to the number of years after the jubilee thou shalt buy of thy neighbour, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. The harvest multiplied by the years to the jubilee. According to the number of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years of the fruits doth he sell it unto thee. Ye shall not thereof oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord thy God. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. And the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years, and you shall sow the eighth year and eat of old fruit until the ninth year. Until our fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he reckon that which his brother sold. And if the brother have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. And so on. And we look to the Lord to give us understanding and application of these things to ourselves today. We continue our worship, this time singing from Psalm 91. Psalm 91, and at the beginning, he that doth in the secret place of the Most High reside, under the shade of him that is the Almighty shall abide. I of the Lord my God will say, he is my refuge still, he is my fortress and my God, and in him trust I will. Assuredly he shall thee save and give deliverance from subtle fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. His feather shall thee hide, thy trust under his wing shall be. His faithfulness shall be a shield and buckler unto thee. Psalm 91 then, verses 1 through 4, he that doth in the secret place. As I indicated there, would you come back with me to the portion we read to the book of Leviticus and chapter 25, and I want us to think of some of the elements that are given to us here in the celebration of the Jubilee that we should look for and ought to be amongst us, particularly this weekend as we think of the Diamond Jubilee that is upon the face of our nation and their people. We are second day into a 4-day celebration of this Jubilee. We acknowledge, and there is the acknowledgement of 60 years of service of the Queen to our nation and to our people. And there is a lot of and much emphasis upon celebrations, even today, of all days. There is that emphasis upon street parties, and there is supposed to be an extensive lunch organised and observed amongst our peoples. There is also going to be that great flotilla going down the River Thames with boats of all ilk, size and function. A flotilla that hasn't been seen for 350 years on this scale and for this purpose. But with all of that activity and all of that emphasis, we've got to stop, pause and ask ourselves the question, where is the acknowledgement of God's help in all of this? Where do we stop and confess the wrong that has been done, because wrong has been done ourselves, our nation, our people? What is the focus? What ought to be the focus of a Jubilee service? Yes, we're going to have a church service on Tuesday. But again, we've got to ask ourselves the question, why Tuesday? Where is the balance that the Scripture gives for the celebration of the Jubilee? What are the responsibilities? What are the privileges? What's the true meaning? What's the principle that the Scripture gives us for this celebration of a Jubilee? We come then to this chapter 25 of Leviticus, which gives for us, as I indicated, two important years. There is the sabbatical year and there is the year of Jubilee. And they all follow the same kind of pattern. And it's a pattern that we see every single week, and yet we don't acknowledge it for what it is. There is, for example, the starting pattern of the 7 days. That's the week that we've got, and the seventh day is a day of rest. It's a day of worship. And that is needed by us physically, in body and in mind, to disengage from the daily matters and routines round about us. That's its need at one level. But at the ordination of the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the seventh day of the week, there is this important spiritual dimension to it that we should, as a nation as well as individually, quite simply acknowledge what God has given to us. Worship Him for what and who He is. Bring all of our problems as well as our worship before Him. In other words, it should have a spiritual content and mold. There should be spiritual privileges, responsibilities. As a nation, we have thrown it out the window. We have taken things 24/7. We no longer acknowledge or respect these things. And as days and years go on, there's an even more of a grinding away of the last vestige of its influence of a day of rest amongst us in our society. Modern living, therefore, has no place for this pattern of the Lord 24/7. And as a consequence, we reap the consequences with ourselves, body, mind, soul. Well, that's the first pattern of seven, the 7 days of the week. And then the next pattern we're given is the 7 years, the sabbatical year that is spoken of here. And again, the emphasis is on a time of rest. A time of rest for the land. It is to be left fallow. No agricultural work is to be planned or undertaken in that year. There's to be no sowing, no pruning, no harvesting. There is to be no harvesting even of what has grown, the residue of last year, or what is growing wild in the world and society round about them. There is to be nothing for any personal gain whatsoever. It's there, freely available to all and sundry, man and beast alike. Lord and servant together. And the Lord will provide sufficient to get by on. Today in our society, that possibly will be the first thing that will be used to mock us. Well, how are you going to survive if you don't do anything for the seventh year? The very question that is asked in verse 20 of this chapter, immediately answered with verse 21. God who blesses, and again, this is why we should do it. God who has blessed us every year in these previous six is the same God that will provide for the seventh year that is fallow and left empty. When you go back to the famine in the days of Joseph in Egypt, there were these previous years, these 7 years of bounty and abundance where they were gathering of enough to take them through 7 years of famine. The blessing the Lord bestowed then. It's not any different with God now in the book of Leviticus. And it's not any different with God now today. He has said it. And if we obey Him and look to Him, this is what He will do for us. Again, as we say, such a proposal would cast horror amongst farmers. It's hard enough to get them to obey one day in the week. They would never agree to 1 year in seven. But there is a benefit, even an agricultural benefit. As we said, there was a personal one from the seventh day. There's an agricultural benefit from the seventh year. With the fertilizers that are used, even in these days, with the agricultural fertilizers, with the irrigation with water out of rivers, etc., there is a build-up of chemicals in the ground then, and there is especially today a build-up of chemicals in the ground now. And by leaving it to go fallow, that is leached out. And there is a renewing of the land for that eighth year thereafter. There is reason for what the Lord is saying on one level, physically, materially. But there is always, and there is also that spiritual, when we are acknowledging our dependence on God and our need of Him. When we acknowledge the blessings that He gives, we depend upon Him. We are but stewards to look over what He's given to pass it on to others. We don't exploit it. We don't exhaust it. But we protect it. So there's the 7 days, the seventh year, and then there's this seventh of seven, the Jubilee year. And in the Jubilee year, there was to be a restoration of possession of land and of liberty to those who, for some reasons of poverty or otherwise, had sold what they had or what they were to others to be servants or to give their land for a time for others to use. But when it came to the year of Jubilee, there was to be a restoration of land and there was to be a restoration of liberty. That's the Jubilee. That's what is set out for us here. And what I want us to do in meditation this morning is to take out several simple themes from this chapter. See the way in which they perhaps should apply to ourselves today, generally and particularly specifically in these 4 days. And the first thing I want us to draw attention to is found in verse 9. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years, then shalt thou cause a trumpet to be blown. How is this Jubilee celebration to start? How is it to begin? It is to begin on a spiritual note. The trumpet is to be sounded when? What day? On the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement. It's not a king in a chariot going through the land. It's not the spit roasting of animals. It's not the breaking open of wine flasks. The beginning of the Jubilee begins on a spiritual note with a spiritual ceremony. And it's not just any ceremony from Old Testament. It's the highest and the most solemn of all. There's nothing formal, there's nothing routine. Here we have the most significant ceremony, the Day of Atonement, repeated in the land. It has historical significance, it has personal interest, it has spiritual well-being at hand. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, what was it? That Day of Atonement, the holy priest, the high priest, he put off all his official garments and clothes. He put on simply white, plain garments. He made a sacrifice for himself to approach before the holy of God, holy place of God. It was a place that no one was allowed into except this one time, this one person at this time of year. That high priest was to bring the blood of a goat and was to offer it there on the innermost place before God. He was to take that blood and offer it for the people. Afterwards, he was to come back out of that place. And he was to lay his hands upon the second goat that had been set aside for this ritual and ceremony. And by laying his hand upon that goat, there was a symbolic transferring of all the sins of the people, because he represented the people. There was a transferring of the sins to that goat. And a runner was going to take that goat out into the wilderness and let that goat go free. And there was a symbolic removal of the sins from the people. That's what the day of Yom Kippur is, the Day of Atonement. The most holy of all the rituals and procedures that the people had. It addressed their status before God and their need to be forgiven. And they went through what God had appointed. They went through this procedure that God had set. A procedure that was going to come in its fullness and in its finality when Jesus Christ came into the world, dying on a cross, giving his blood to cover the sins of his people. Here we have a figure and a pointer forward always to that event. Redemption. And redemption with rejoicing. The highest good they could receive from God. The pardon of sin. The removing of it from their presence. That is the way it started. When the ceremony of the atonement was over and completed, the Jubilee could begin. There was therefore this crucial preparation, this focusing of their thoughts on God. There was this spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual dimension, the spiritual foundation and quality to all of the Jubilee celebrations. They were aware of their puniness. They were aware that they were sinners before God. They were aware of their bankruptcy to pay back to God for the sin that they had committed. The only way that it could be achieved by doing what God had appointed for them. And when it was finished, and the goat was released in the wilderness, there was then a time of thankfulness, profound thankfulness for spiritual blessings, and a joy over what God had provided for them that they could not provide for themselves. Their mind, their heart, their soul was molded on a spiritual model. And yet how we have things back to front. It is only on Tuesday that there will be any kind of spiritual service whatsoever. Something that should have been at the very beginning. something that we need to be reminded about time and time and time again. Sad to say that in our land today there is so little spirituality found. We have moved away from the fundamentals of our faith. We no longer look at ourselves. We no longer look at society with the colours and the dimensions and the seriousness and the solemnity which the Bible holds before us. And we're doing it at our own loss and at fearful consequence to us. We need therefore constantly to remind ourselves every week on the seventh day. We need to remind ourselves time and time again as the years unfold. And even here in 50-year celebration, whatever be the nature of the Jubilee, be it a golden or a diamond Jubilee, there is here a pattern and a principle set for us that we are not to lose sight. We are not to lose sight of our problem before God. And we are to always have a spiritual foundation, a spiritual reminder, the solemnity of what sin is and how it has to be dealt with and to be removed. Redemption. That's the first element that we have here in any Jubilee celebration. But there is a second element that I want to bring out, and that is the element of rest. There was a time of resting. And we've tried to emphasize it in the seventh day and the seventh year and the 50th year. We are but stewards of what God has given us, and we have it only for a short time. And there are times when rest is required and rest is needed. It is never ours, always. We only have it for a short time. We do not take advantage. The Israelite was not allowed to take advantage of any deal that he entered into in taking the land from one another. There was not to be exploitation. There was not to be inflation. There was not even to be interest added to any money that was borrowed. There was to be this rest. Land and people. Resting and relying upon God. Again, that is so often forgotten in our society today. We have so much that is geared 24/7. There is so much that is taken as if Sunday was just any other day. And we have so much set out for us that makes no difference whatsoever with it from the others. And yet here we set out clearly and plainly for us that there is a day and there is a time of rest that is necessary for us, for you and for me. A time when we can remember who we are. We can remember our God who has done and given so much for us, be it in the last 6 days, be it in the last 7 years, be it in the last 50 or 60 years. Whatever be the scale we might be using, but for you and for me and all of us together, there needs to be that time of rest when we look back and take note of the many good things God has given to us. Resting upon God. And just as we rest upon God and as we reflect and look back, so inevitably we remind ourselves of incidents. These people would have it, we would have it. Incidents where God in a special way met us, where God in a special way blessed us, where we were in difficulty or in danger, and the Lord delivered us. We can look back, and that's part of the process of reflection in this time of rest. And as we do so, and as we think of what God has done for us at that time, so it stimulates us from this time of rest to go forward and to go out, to rely more and more upon our God. Remember, rest and relying upon God. The way in which He has met with His people and blessed them in times past, He does not change. We think of His helpers 6 days, years, 50 or 60 years. And whatever troubles might then arise in time to come, we rest and we rely upon Him. We've already mentioned the specific example of that here in verse 20 and 21. What shall we eat on the seventh day? To rely upon God to provide what is needed as that need arises. And again, it comes down to ourselves today. Today, with all of the modern agricultural methods, today with all of the skill that the scientists have, be it for the growing of crops, the method of agriculture, there's a skill and there's an application there that is remarkable. There's a source and a supply and a safety in the way things happen in the fields today. But let's not think that that's all there is to it. Blessings come from God. They are His and He gives them to us. They come every year to us. It's harvest time. We acknowledge His hand in giving us what we have. The same God that has provided for 1 year is the God who can provide for 2 years. As a God who can provide whatever need might suddenly arise with us. We honor Him, trusting and relying upon Him. A challenge to us in our modern society today. So yes, we've got redemption and rejoicing. We've got resting. We've got relying upon Him. What else do we have? We have here restoration and release. We mentioned the way in which there is a possibility of somebody who has sold their land to another person because they needed money. And then before the year of Jubilee comes, they want to buy it back. And they can do so by doing through what I suggested, that calculation. There's these number of harvests that you've had, and there's these number of harvests to go. And therefore I'll buy back the land for that amount of money before the Jubilee comes. The land could be restored. And the land could be taken back by the person even before the year of Jubilee came. But if they waited for the year of Jubilee itself to arise, then that was the end of the arrangement that was made. And there was a restoration of what they had given so long before. Restoration. The way in which it is to be restored, and the way in which the Lord God has made this arrangement and has set in place deliberately, this method and this means for land to be restored. And as they engage in it, let's make mention particularly of the quality of debate and arrangement that is to be engaged in. They are not to exploit someone else. They are not to make mileage or to use it to their advantage. And the important thing that is set out here is this. you have received mercy from God. Therefore, when you deal with others, demonstrate that same quality in that dealing with others. God has blessed you and given this land to you. God has been merciful and gracious. Demonstrate that same quality when you deal with others. Restoration and release. Renting, relying, redemption, rejoicing. What's the basis and what's the foundation then for all of these qualities for the Jubilee? They are given to prevent greed. They are given to ensure that society is built on a good and a solid foundation. They are given a spiritual quality. They were disregarded. We've noticed it in the days of Amos, the way in which the people disregarded these regulations and the people exploited them against the people who couldn't fight back. And God was angry with people in the days of Amos because of that exploitation that one had against another. And that's why there's always this beginning, this spiritual beginning to the Jubilee celebration. There is there a reminder of the great debt that is owed. There is a reminder of what they cannot do, any one of them, to save and to redeem themselves. There is brought before the mind of the people vividly the biggest problem of all. It's not poverty in the land. It's not who possesses this field or that house. The biggest problem of all: how can I be right with God? And so therefore there is this beginning of any Jubilee set upon the Day of Atonement. They dress in ordinary garments. They are reminded of what God has set out for them and given to them. They remind themselves of the procedure the Lord has appointed for the removing of sin from their presence. That atonement, which points forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the way in which He is the one who will remove that sin finally, fully and completely from God's people. He will do it through the death, His death upon the cross. He will do it. And there will be nothing left, nothing uncovered, no inadequacy, no deficiency. A perfect redemption that need not be repeated. And whenever God's people receive and experience that blessing in their own soul, it has an effect upon them. There is then truly a reason for rejoicing. We sang there Psalm 122. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Truly, as we gather ourselves together, we need to remind ourselves of what God has done for His people. And if we have tasted of that salvation for ourselves, truly, yes, there is joy beyond anything the world can give. But not only is there joy, there is thanksgiving to the God who has done so much for us. We need, in all of the celebrations that are taking place in these days, not just simply once every 50 years, not just simply once every 7 years, but once every week. As we gather together, we need to remind ourselves of this spiritual proportion to our life. So much can take place, overwhelm us, so much can smother these spiritual thoughts amongst us. We see it already with the sheer balance or imbalance of what arrangements have been put in place. And what we need to do is get the balance that Scripture gives us here, beginning Jubilee, on the Day of Atonement, when they and we are reminded once again of the spiritual problem we all have, and the way in which that problem can only be solved and addressed in and through and by Jesus Christ, who died upon that cross. That's the emphasis the Scripture gives us. That's the balance that we have. That's the way the Lord has set it out for us. How we need, therefore, to follow that pattern and to remind ourselves yearly, weekly, of our need of Jesus Christ as our Saviour and our Lord, the one who alone can equip us to appear before God with neither spot nor stain or any such thing. A perfect salvation. He gives peace and He gives joy. Joy that we've never known in anything that this world has offered us up till now. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month and the Day of Atonement. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Let's not lose sight of that one last thought. Liberty. Freedom. That's the gift that Jesus Christ gives to as many as believe and trust in Him. He gives liberty from guilt, freedom from accusation. He gives life. That which everybody today is looking for. What everybody is on a quest to achieve or to attain, to experience. There in the gospel, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The day of liberty, the celebration of Jubilee, the beginning of it all, a spiritual quality on the Day of Atonement, when sin is addressed and sin is removed. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, grant Thy blessing upon Thy word once again to us. Help us to understand it, and help us to take it to ourselves and to sit underneath its teaching and its application. We pray, Lord, that Thy blessing would be upon us as a nation, that these things that have been neglected and forgotten for so long might be restored amongst us. And we ask of Thee, our Lord and our God, that Thy blessing would be upon those who preach and proclaim this message of life and of liberty, focusing upon Jesus Christ, the Saviour and Redeemer. Deal with us, each one of us, alone and apart. May Thy word come home to each one of us here this morning. And we ask, O Lord, that our dealings might be with Thyself in grace. For we ask it in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. We close our service this morning by singing from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, the psalmist is summing up the spiritual blessings that he has received, the way in which we should do that ourselves at every opportunity. O Thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. Be stirred up His holy name to magnify and bless. Bless, O my soul, the Lord thy God, and not forgetful be. of all his gracious benefits he hath bestowed on thee. O thine iniquities, who doth most graciously forgive, who thy diseases all and pains doth heal and thee relieve, who doth redeem thy life, that thou to death mayst not go down, who thee with loving kindness doth and tender mercies crown, who with abundance of good things doth satisfy thy mouth, so that even as the eagle's age, renewed is thy youth. Psalm 103 then, 1 through 5. O thou my soul, bless God, the Lord. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.